The needs of the many will always be loud. He leans forward, hooked nose inches from mine. But in the end, it is only the strength of the few that matters.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast talking about and reviewing all of Book Talk's most popular books and tell you whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Caitlin. And we have a much anticipated episode for you, mostly because we've been MIA for like 2.5-3 weeks trying to finish this book. It is the over 700 page follow-up to James Islington's The Will of the Many. It is called The Strength of the Few. We all super loved the first book in this science fantasy journey, and boy does the second one just take the complexity of book one and I don't know, juggle it in the air and see what comes of it. This is going to be a spoiler as I describe the second book. If you have not read the first book, I would highly recommend that. There's a massive plot twist at the end, and the second one picks up right where we left off. So if you're like us and you hadn't read it in a minute, oh, I was confused. But warning has been given. So Viz Telemus, I'm going to be told I pronounced that wrong.
Telemus.
Yeah, I was like, I've been saying Telemus.
Well, he ran the labyrinth in the first book. Not going to go back and explain that. And on completion, was copied into two other realities. So he now exists synchronous in three realities of his world, three versions of his world. And they're all vastly different. He remains in his Roman-esque one. And then the author does something really cool and picks other ancient civilizations. And so another one is based off Egypt and another one is based off like Scottish Celtic warriors. So he finds himself in two other realities. One, he has like no guidance. The other, he meets up with his adoptive father's brother for some guidance. And he's the only person who can take down the person who is orchestrating the next cataclysm. So the next end of the world. They happen every 300 or so years and it is time. And he's the only one that can stop it because he now exists in all three realities.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain it beyond that.
No, yeah. It's a great explanation.
And a lot of that gets a lot more complicated somehow.
What you know is not what is actual reality.
Will differently. Mm-hmm. He sort of has to figure out how to use all three versions.
And he only has two arms in one world.
Yeah. That's the best I got, guys.
No, that was good.
I finished this about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. We were busy, so it was a struggle. But do you guys have reviews?
I do. I have a very fun review, although none of them were really all that fun in Goodreads. So step up, y'all. But I found a very fun 2-star review. And it says, the title is actually a reference to those of us who had the willpower to finish this book.
Yep.
The strength of the few, it's us.
That's so funny.
I found a 5-star. It says, the most simple thing, and this is not a spoiler because it happens in the first book. The most simple thing this book does is end all three POVs on a cliffhanger. What am I supposed to do? Patiently wait for the next book? 10 out of 10 would recommend, but would also recommend waiting until the third one comes out.
Period.
Yeah. Low-key. Okay, I found a 1-star. It says, I start reading. I know Viz is there, but I pretend I don't really care how annoying he is. Somehow I manage to get to the next chapter. Vec. Viz is there again. He passed through the gate into another world. No respite, but I keep going to the next chapter. Rotting Gods, Viz is there too. Yes. Sue lives on in every world.
Vec, three fizzes.
Two fizzes. Rotting gods, three.
There's so much plot happening in this book. He is a far less complex character this time around.
Yeah. The plot is doing so much plotting that Viz is like struggling. In all three worlds, Viz is struggling to keep his head above water. Like,
Viz is missing an arm and trying to swim, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, the Goodreads rating for the book is 3.7 out of 5. The Fable rating is
4.37 out of 5.
Oh, what did I say?
3.7.
Oh,
not a number.
Sorry. I just can't read numbers.
It's much higher rated, actually.
Yeah. Can you imagine 0.37? Everyone somehow gave it less than one star. Okay. Anyway, the overall Goodreads rating is 4.37 out of 5. The Fable review is 4 out of 5. And the story graph is 4.32 out of 5. What do you guys think?
I think I agree with the kind of like average of the ratings. I gave it 4 stars, but I'm probably closer to like a 4.5 if I could give half stars. Yeah, like it was a very good book. It was very, very dense. And I think that's where my star rating goes down a bit. It's just there's parts of this book that it can be really slow because you are split into three different worlds. And you're not always going to like Viz in all three of the worlds, if you like him at all. So there are slow moments in each of the worlds, pretty much except the original world.
Yeah. I gave it 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was really, really interesting. I loved the three worlds and I had a really good time. The beginning is really jarring because you have to find your footing again and it is hard. But once you get used to it, I found it really fascinating. And I thought what was happening in all three worlds was really interesting. But there are parts in the middle where I did find myself getting frustrated because I wanted to read about one Viz and I was being forced to read about another Viz. But I do think like the worlds and the way they influence Viz is like a really interesting journey. And it does, even though the book is less character heavy, change him a lot. And the book ultimately leads down a path where it's like there's three of him and they actually might end up working against each other. And that's really interesting. So not going to spoil anything other than that. But
oh, yeah, they end in completely different places. The yeah. Vizes.
The Vi.
Oh, dear. can Viz see to himself? Anyway, I actually have not given this book a rating yet since I literally just finished it, but I actually am going to give it, podcast heard it first before Goodreads, I'm giving it 4 stars. I was never bored, ever. I enjoyed this. However, it was too freaking long, James Islington.
Yeah.
Over 700 pages for something you have to think so hard about is insane work.
Mm.
So that's why it's not going to be a 5 star for me. Not even a 4.5. It's too freaking long.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of reviews where it's like, yeah, this is 3 books in one.
Yeah.
It's not
long candy. It's long, like every detail matters. And so you're like,
yeah. And like, I liked it. I enjoyed it. However, like, dude, break it up.
Need a brain break.
Right. All right. So our non-spoiler discussion then. Is this book more plot or character driven?
Plot. In every iteration of the plot.
Yes. Yeah. In all three plots.
In all three worlds, it's plot driven.
I mean, actually, it's probably like 4 plots because there's 3 individual plots and then 1 overarching plot.
Nothing.
Yeah. You realize that you might not have known things that you thought you knew by the end. So... a lot of unreliable narrators, and poor Viz is just trying to figure out what the fuck is happening in all three of these worlds.
Yeah, Viz isn't even an unreliable narrator. He's just an uninformed narrator.
Yeah, he just doesn't know what's happening.
You know that he does, and it's not a lie.
Yeah, and the people who are trying to inform him about what's happening are
liars.
Really trying to get something from him. So, very interesting. This is a redundant question, but have you or would you read other books by the author? Obviously, we all read the first book in this series. Have you guys or would you guys read other books by James Islington?
Oh, I would. He's a great writer.
Yeah, his Lycanus trilogy is one of my brother-in-law's favorite series, and I would be inclined to also give that read. I've heard good things. And I will inevitably be a slave to the next book when it comes out.
This is a trilogy, right? We're not going longer than a trilogy.
I think it's trilogy. The book title's out for the next one.
Yeah, it's like the power of one or something, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Was it? I don't know. I think that's right.
Anyway, I do.
The Justice of One.
The Justice of One. There we go.
Which is insane.
Ominous, especially given the way this book ends.
Yikes.
Yeah. No, so Catherine and I were talking about this before the podcast, but I kind of wish I had waited until all three books were out, because I would love to read this book, like this series, all as one, you know, experience, instead of having to like wait on the next book, even though I will, because it's just such an epic saga that I wish I got to just like leap from one book into the other. But alas.
Actually, that's probably a spoiler to another question, but I think it has been picked up for production of some sort. And it does, like, if you could just sit down and read it all at once, it's just like the most action-packed movie ever.
Yeah, yeah. Give me like a combined ebook Kindle where it's just all but three
between the two. I started and I was still the whole book. I still don't remember how he lost his arm.
No, okay, I remember this. Okay. Because I was also confused and I had to look up.
There are things I was missing. He was referencing people. I was like, who is that? And the whole book, I cannot for the life of me remember how the arm came off. So much happened at the end. No idea.
Okay. So I remember this. I'm going to explain it. But I had the same experience where I kept Googling people. I was like, who is this character? Will of the Many. Like,
where is Viz's arm?
So Reddit. When Viz is in the labyrinth, he gets this message scrawled on his arm that is how he survives, where it says stop and then it says run. And that's how Viz survives, because in the other two worlds, because if he didn't have that message on his arm, he would have been like found out by the soldiers that encapsulate the maze in the other worlds. So the person who wrote that, like scrawled that into his arm, was, I'm going to forget all their names. Who's the brother?
Ciro.
No.
I was not saying it like that when I was reading it, but Ciro.
If you're a paper reader, it's Carer. If you're an audiobook, it's Ciro.
Right. Carer found Viz and scrawled that into his arm. And that's why he ended up losing his arm, is because you have to make a sacrifice when you enter the other worlds. And his arm was basically like infected because of it was cut into via his other body. And so it was basically decaying because it was like poisoned. Yeah. And then that's why
you can keep it in one world then.
Because that's the world where they scrawled it.
Yeah. So his arm is fine there.
Entering the other worlds, he would lose it. And he would keep it in the main world?
No,
because
Obatiam is the world he was scrawled in.
Yes, because...
never mind.
And then in his original world, that's why he couldn't keep it, is because it, like, infected his arm.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It would have turned him into, like, one of those zombie creatures, because...
Okay, Catherine, how do you pronounce it? The Ayunktai? Ayunktai?
Yunkti.
What?
Yunkti, yes.
No.
I was saying Ayunkta, yeah.
Yunkti. And Yunktis.
I was giving it more syllables than that, even.
Yeah.
Ayunktai.
Audiobook really prepped me for
Caitlin's out here just making up, like, inserting letters. And
you speak Latin, don't hate me, I'm sorry.
No one speaks Latin.
Okay, anyway, this has already been a long tangential conversation. This is really the big question with this book. I think it's the one hang up is, how is the pacing? How long did it take you to read?
The pacing's not bad. It's just too long.
It's too long.
Yeah. I think the three worlds construction was really smart. I know it annoyed some people, but I loved it because it kept me reading, because I was always so obsessed with finding out what happened in the other world that even if I wasn't as invested in what was happening in, you know, the next chapter in whatever world that was, I kept reading because I wanted so badly to get back to the other world. So that helped me get through it quickly. I do, however, think it is not really a good Busy Girls book. No. Because to sort of spoil my Busy Girl rating, it's just a lot of focus and you have to have time to sit down with it. And if you're stressed out at work, you probably don't really want to go home and read a really complicated, stressful, tri-world journey. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed it, but I definitely, I think it was too long. I agree with that.
Oh, yeah, I 100% agree. I think the pacing is great for the book. I loved the three worlds. I loved that each is, like, so unique. Like, the magic systems are completely different. But because of that, you're having to learn each of the magic systems, each of the languages, each of the religions, each of all the characters in each of the worlds.
Because Will works different in all of them also. And yeah. They operate on totally different political hierarchies.
Yes. So there's so much.
But I also don't think I could have been okay with three books, like if each of these had been its own book, because I would have gotten bored between books.
Yes.
Right.
So like it had to be like this, but like maybe this could have been two books. I don't know.
I think there are certain chapters that could have been cut.
Yeah.
Like, I think it could have been honed down a little, but the book is really good. And I think none of the chapters were so flagrantly useless that it was insulting. Mm-hmm. I just think at a certain point you need to start killing your darlings because it's 700 pages and, you know, you can make one chapter do two things. Like, let's condense.
I fear the next book.
Yes. As you should.
And there are rumors that people think it will be more than three. I don't know. The justice of one is not the final one, but
I think the next book will be the last one. Also, I don't have the energy to do more than a trilogy for this series. Like, they're so good.
But Islington shouldn't have the energy to do more than a trilogy.
Yes.
How could you keep repeating this? Oh my gosh.
So, side note, I learned he's Australian. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested how he chose like Egyptian and then Scottish ancient. Like he could have done like the Maori people or something. I don't know. I'm just interested how he like chose his. He's essentially like if you take a Percy Jackson kid who also was really into like Egyptology, aka all of us, and then like throw him in author like
This book was made for us.
I like it. I'm just like Scottish, interesting.
I did think that was a bit of a curveball as a honorary Scot. I was like flattered.
You're not honorary, you're a citizen.
I know but I'm American, like, you know, I
dual citizen.
No one knew.
Yeah. I thought it was really I'm assuming he just had like pet interest in some of them and, you know, had some sort of thing that he wanted to write about, because I was actually thinking, I was like, not that I want to add more vizzes into the universe. I think there's plenty. Three is arguably too much. I would love to see him do even more societies. Like, it was so fun to see his like,
yeah, where's the Norse one? Where's the Mayan one? Where's the,
Let's get even more.
Yeah, no.
Catherine's like,
sorry,
no.
I totally derailed us. would you? Oh, how long did it take you to read? We didn't answer that part. Like a month. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody had like a mental break and got really sick at the same time.
Somebody?
So yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
It's not a good book when you're busy, guys. It took me like a month, literally.
Same.
It's also not really a good book if you're like depressed.
There's a lot.
Hope is fleeting in this book.
Yeah. Viz is dealing with a lot of change. We'll
trauma.
Say that. And trauma.
Also, he's like, what, like 19 or something?
Yes.
Yep. And he's dealing with all these political games and everyone's in danger. And then war is breaking out. Yeah. And he doesn't even know that he's like on different universes now. It's a lot. But anyway, it actually only took me like a week. Yeah. Oh.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I was committed to it though. And I also had time. So
I did not have time. So it was closer to a month. It took me basically the whole month of February.
Every time I was like, guys, I'm not going to make it. Catherine was like, don't worry, girl. Me too.
I could have, but you gave me the excuse.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wouldn't have slept.
I was pushing it.
Yeah.
Despite all of that, would you watch a movie or TV show?
100%.
Yes. This would be an amazing movie series.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would eat it up.
I was thinking when reading, like, even jumping back and forth in a movie would be fine.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
And you'd see...
Also, I want to see a city of mummies.
Yeah.
Cool. Yungti, really cool.
Yeah. And the pyramids. Even, like, the old Gaelic, like, nomads or naiads. Like, their whole mystical...
The world building leaves nothing to be desired.
Yes. It was so good. 10 out of 10 world building, for sure. And he did it 3 times.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that brings us to our busy girl rating.
It's probably not going to be much of a surprise based on this conversation.
Yeah. We warned you guys. I'm going to give it a 3.
That's fair.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 quality, 5 out of 10 busy girl. Like, it's just... I think 3 out of 5. It's really good, so I think it's worth making the time for. But I think for a busy person, it is a bit of a challenge, and it takes a lot of focus. So I think know yourself, choose your moment. But it's great. I give it a 3.
I feel like I might actually agree with you on this one. And Caitlin's making faces because she's going to give it lower.
Caitlin's going to give it a 2.
I've struggled, so that's just a personal experience.
No. And I think that's totally valid. And I think I'm going to give it a 3 only because it's the second book in the series. If you've already read The Will of the Many and you finished it and loved it, you're going to want to continue with the series. But I can't give it higher than a 3 only because it is dense and thick and takes a really long time. But there, I wanted to pick it back up after I put it back down. Because I was incredibly busy. I still wanted to finish it. I wanted to read it. Like, it left questions in my mind and, like, continued in my thoughts even during my workday. So I think a 3 is the highest I could possibly give it, but I'm not going to give it any lower.
I thought about giving it a 1, quite frankly.
also fair.
Because personally, it took me that long to read.
Yeah.
However, it does not merit a 1 busy girl rating. I will at least give it a 2, because if you read the first one, you got to read the second one. And you'll want to read the third. So it's worth the time, but you need a lot of that time.
Yeah.
Because like, also, it's not something you can speed read. Like, you have to stop and think. And I had to reread pieces. Like, it's not a quick read by any means.
No, it's not. Real. Okay. Well, now we are at our spoiler section. So... obviously, you know, we're going to talk about the rest of book 2. So much happens. Get ready. We're assuming if you're listening to this, you've already read it. If you haven't, you should. You should take set aside a whole month and dedicate it to this book and then come back because we're about to start.
All in a month.
Yep. We're going to talk about the Vizzes and their journey.
The Vi.
The Diagos, maybe that's easier.
Okay, the audiobook pronounces it Thiago, as in the D is a the th.
I've had enough.
I know, right?
I've had enough of this.
But I don't agree with that.
Catalonian Spanish or something?
Yeah, something like that, except not with a, yeah.
They're just lucky I didn't call him Diego.
Well, that would have been heinous.
Yeah. All right. Well, our first question is, we've kind of touched on this. What do you think about the 3 worlds and the 3 Vi? How about the cultural identities in each one? What was your favorite and least favorite one?
Love. Nerd. Love it.
Okay, but what was your favorite and least favorite? One?
Obviously, despite being a Percy Jackson kid who had their own mummy kit as a kid, my favorite was the Celtic one because
yeah,
I was just in Scotland like a month ago.
Yeah.
The scenery was just so vivid in my mind. And it was just like the simplest one. Mm-hmm. I loved how it was the break Viz needed from the craziness for a while, and how just like peaceful and serene and simple the like code of the people was.
Yeah.
And same. The Druids. I love the Druids.
Yes, yeah. The Druids. Of course, I love the Scottish one. I loved how like the mysticism of the society was worked into it, how they kind of have this like very natural religion that's not, you know, very dogmatic religion the way we think about religion now. It's very spiritual. I loved the code of the people, and it was kind of sad, right? Like Viz finally got treated well, and it created a really important but devastating foil to his other lives where he's just a tool. And these people actually saw him as a person. But I loved like the trial he had to go through in the mansion where he has to like fight this sculpture, and how really all of these things were meant as traps to stop people who were synchronous from being able to continue on in their journey.
And I still don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a feeling it's because they were worried that a person who was synchronous would then kill the overlord that is ruling over all of these worlds. Because only a synchronous person can kill him and wield the tools.
I'm not sure what the end goal is at this point, but it felt very messed up with the mask.
They took it away from us. Well, because the whole time we thought that the person who caused the cataclysm was evil, and now we think the cataclysm might actually be like this last resort to prevent something worse from happening.
It's very like culling the earth in order to make sure the earth still exists.
Yeah. And we don't know why.
Yeah.
The way the people are at this point, not really, but I'm like, okay, in the earth, these people suck.
Yeah. Well, and if the cataclysm happens on each of the places, then I'm sad because I don't want it to happen on my favorite place, which is also the Celtic world, Lucium.
Of course.
I think, but a close second is Rez, the original world, only because like you want to know what happened to the favorite characters from The Will of the Many. And like Eden's like my favorite character and I love him so much.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's.
Iqua.
Yeah, but I hated an Iqua and,
every time in all the worlds, I started to become attached to someone dead.
Yep.
Yeah. I really liked the Egyptian world. That one was my second favorite.
Also, really? Once I figured out they were literally all just mummies walking around, mm-hmm. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I liked it. I just hated parts of it because he was, yeah. There was just moments.
So different from the other two.
Yeah.
It was like very jarring anytime you switched to that one. Not in like a bad way. It just was so different.
The young tea made me uncomfortable. Isolated. Let's be clear. That's what the issue is. The mummies made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't totally mind it, but that world did feel very isolating. But what I really loved that one is really driving the plot in the others because Viz has the greatest chance at actually succeeding at killing the overlord ruler Ka in that one.
Sounds like he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, he stabbed.
They leave it really up to interpretation.
And Sarah says, Ciro, what? I don't know.
Ciro,
which is probably also his brother. The one that appears in the Scottish one is like, one of you just made a very bad mistake. And then the synchronous guy is like, you're the only one who can do this now. So I am assuming.
Do we want to talk about Ciro? Because Obatiam Ciro said that he felt both of his counterparts die.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I was like, what?
That makes me think, and this is my theory, and I also saw some people on Reddit agree, I think he was a Yunkti. I think he was being controlled by the concurrence. And he was trying to steer Viz towards killing Ka in Obatiam.
No, so my theory is that he's only pretending to be Ciro in the Celtic world.
No, they look the same.
Huh?
They look the same. They're described as looking the same.
Could be.
I think he actually is Ciro in the Celtic
world. Or he could be Iancti in that world, too. Now that
we know. I think he's a bad guy.
I think he's a bad guy, too.
Well, I think he's a bad guy in all of the worlds. But I specifically, the Obitium Ciro always rubbed me a little wrong, only because he was so like positive and so unaffected by things, despite being like going through probably some of like the worst trials and tribulations. And he said like he felt both of his two selves die. I truly think he was dead and he was being controlled.
That's an interesting theory. See, I liked him and I really thought that he was pushing for the best. The thing that made me suspicious is that he disappears.
Yes. So see, I was confused why he never appeared again.
Right.
Until he appeared in Lucium. I was like,
Right. Because we do know that he does actually die in the home world. I don't remember which one's Lucium and Obitium. I'm sorry.
Obitium is Egyptian.
Okay.
They helpfully put little, I didn't notice until halfway through, but at the beginning of each chapter, there's a symbol.
Yeah, there's a symbol.
I didn't even notice till halfway through.
Those kept me hanging on. I would look for them. I'd be like, which one's next? Which one's next?
Okay. Well, and then you see one that has both the res symbol of like the Katenin village.
Right after I noticed they were doing it.
And then
it,
the Lucium. Yeah.
Like, oh shit.
And it had like both the Celtic swirl. And I was like, wait, they're both happening?
Yes. I was like, what does this mean? But okay, so I do think that what the hell is going on with Carer, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce it, however is correct. I must follow my heart, Carer.
That's fair.
I am very curious about what's going on, but I also find it so hard to believe that the person causing the cataclysm is actually a good person. Like,
oh yeah, no.
I feel like because they've also been trying to oppress people this whole time. Like they've been supporting this like horrible, like leeching use of will that has continually placed them at the top of the hierarchy. But obviously there's something more complicated going on than we know. And a lot of people have been lying to Viz, which is basically what the ending shows us.
I do think the moral of the story is there is no such thing as a perfectly good person. It's just like, how can you do the most good with the least damage? And that's what Viz is starting to realize at the end.
Yeah. Right. And he also is kind of realizing, heartbreaking, especially in Rez, that these people are not salvageable. They're not redeemable. Like, they are used to having
power. Using him.
Yeah, even and they will do.
He figures out Eden's dad used him. That's so sad. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. Oh my god, that part was so heartbreaking. But he realizes that like these people are so used to having power, they will do anything they can do to maintain it. And so
when he gets used to having the power, and he's like, that sucks.
Right. Like he doesn't want to be out of power now either, because he knows what that was like, and it kind of. It turns him into a little bit of a villain there. Like, you're kind of like, Viz, what are you doing?
He's trying to justify raising the dead.
Yeah. Which is, who can do the most good with the least casualties.
Right. And he knows that he's basically going to sacrifice his own morality, his own soul, essentially, to do it.
Well, I think that's...
That Eden is his, like, moral compass.
Yeah.
As soon as Eden walks away, that's when he'll know that he's done something totally fucked up.
Dude, that scene, though, where Viz, like... awakens the army and Eden is just sitting there like, don't do it. It broke my heart.
But then afterwards he was like, I'm still with you. I was like,
It's cute.
Don't hurt Eden.
Yeah, I think that's the moment that you realize that Ka probably isn't as bad. He's more morally gray than morally black.
We still don't know who he is though.
We don't know who he is. But I think that he's probably pretty soulless at this point, only because he's had to do so many things in order to, quote unquote, protect from the concurrence. And I truly do believe he is fighting the concurrence.
My other theory that Kira is Ka.
I can believe he's the concurrence.
I think it might be Ka.
Because also the concurrence still confuses me. Like this, it's like a...
When he talks about it, he looks
program.
At the search, like when he looks at Ka in Obitium, he's like, he's very whatever. He's a very like Katinian looking man, you know, looks like he's from Rez.
But and he was using an Iancti at that point, wasn't he?
No, in the Egyptian one.
Oh.
When he goes to stab him.
Yeah.
Like, who's to say Catherine's like Catherine could be right, and he was just using another kind of Catinian looking person as a young T to teach him what he. But why would he want to defeat himself? So I don't know. That's
probably people. Not. I will say Google, and because I did have to Google some things because the ending was just so crazy. Google AI seemed to say that in Obitium, the ending is Viz killing Ciro. And I was like, that's not what happened, though, because not at least from according to the book itself. Because he was like,
he's only been there like 8 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he would have set up that.
I mean, like he did say, like, it looks like a Catenian middle-aged man, but he would have recognized Ciro if Ciro was truly there.
Well, unless he never met the real one.
That's true.
Which one is Ciro?
The brother of Elkiscor.
Oh, sorry, all these pronunciations.
What if it's Viridius?
Viridius didn't run the labyrinth.
No, what if he's Ka?
Oh, I could believe that.
I still don't trust that Osiris guy either.
Ostius?
Ostius, there's a T, you're right.
Yeah.
Too many names, too many characters.
I know, it's
painful. Oh, I don't trust him either. There's too much, the fact that he can travel between worlds. Osiris is
an Egyptian god, not a character in the book, my bad. Yeah.
And he is also seems very motivated by his own motivations of revenge. So I don't think that he really cares about the good and bad of the world.
Well, we've still got the Angui in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Gwiss? I don't know.
Because I just can't believe that the people who have been, like, solidifying this hierarchy and running these three worlds this way are good people. But now it's, like, what the challenge of figuring out what to do without them. Because now they're not synchronous anymore.
Without them and with no good people to take their place.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, Ka wants peace in Rez because he needs the power of the will. But, like, Rez has destroyed itself, essentially. So now the only one left is
crazy when it said they put out the, like, whatever, the lists, and people started just, like, beheading each other.
Yeah.
Like, why would they? Why? Even the good people, the good side, just were like, well, better diminish our numbers real quick.
Yeah. It was horrible. So, like, Lord of the Flies, like, just an all-out, purge of the others.
And it's all people who didn't get a choice and who they ceded to anyway.
Right. Before we move on from it, the thing that the loose end that really bothered me from Obitium was that Viz goes into that crypt, like,
it never opens the sarcophagus.
Never opens the sarcophagus. What the fuck? I was like, no, this is clearly Ka. This is Ka, and you're going into a fake pyramid to kill who the fuck knows.
Yes.
Like,
Kira probably crawled back down in his sarcophagus.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, open it up. What do you mean? I was like, if we don't find out what the hell was in that sarcophagus.
Yes. Also, I was like, part of me was like, maybe it's the same place and you don't have to work so hard to get there. It's like a
like a portal.
I was like, the fact that he just didn't open it was so insane to me because I was like, what if this is the ultimate goal? Like, how could you pass this up before you have to go on this whole journey to get into this other pyramid?
Like, it can wait. That can wait.
A little peek.
Just take a little glimpse.
Well, he's just like, I'll just grab these weapons. And then like, oh, that's a fun looking sarcophagus. Walks away. And I'm like,
weapons that are painted on the sarcophagus.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, bruh, that's got to be someone important. You might want to look.
Right. And I just feel like that is somehow going to be a really important loose end.
Oh, it's about kind of in the ass so hard.
The truth. Yeah. Like, somehow there was some aspect of the truth that we're missing in all this that has to do with that.
Yep.
Because you're right. They did come through. They're like, one of you really fucked this up. And now we're like, oh.
Yeah.
Even though Kara is definitely evil in the Celtic version, because he was also supporting the king who was like massacring people and trying to kill
I did have this thought. I was like, okay, he showed up and just ended up on his side because other people wanted to kill him. But like, what if they weren't the good side? I know that's probably not true, but I'm like, that was my thought. It was just, he ends up on a side with no background. How does he know it's the good side?
Well, part of it is because of the druids. Like, the druids are being
manipulated,
killed and manipulated and turned against each other and asked to sacrifice their control, basically, so that the king
also, can be able to. You had to kill both our druids?
Dude, it was brutal. Yeah. I got so attached to every single person in that
universe. And then Lear's head was on the ground. I was like,
yeah. And this poor family who helped him, I was like, have mercy on these people. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, when they showed back up, I was so relieved. So relieved.
For real. Unless it's Eden, don't get attached.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus.
And then I'm afraid that I'm attached to Eden.
Mm-hmm. And Tara, I like loved her. She was such a good badass character.
Badass ginger girl.
Yes, I loved her. And I was like, don't touch her.
But then at the end, when they were like, that's why people who are scarred can't rule. It's because
synchronous
people are always scarred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like they were trying to keep them out.
They've known there's been more of these people.
I think the Lucia world knows the most.
Yeah. Because so much of this has been lost to history that now it's all just like lore. Like we don't know why scarred people can't be king, but we know we're like, oh, it's because every person who's gone through the, I don't want synchronous people to control everything.
Do you want to back up 2 seconds? I'm not sure. I don't trust Ostias guy. I don't trust him, but also the fact that he placed Viz's dad in that Lucium world to keep an eye on him and protect him makes me think he is not a bad person.
He's a self-motivated person.
He's a complicated person.
Right.
I think he might be a good person.
I also want to know
how he can jump between two worlds.
Yes.
Yes. The whole time.
Why not the third?
How does this work? I wanted to know so bad.
Like, how can you do that?
Right. Because then he would walk to like the physical place he needed to be and then switch worlds and be in that place in the other world. I was like, what?
And he made clear he can't go to Robitino.
He worked in Khabar, Khabar. How do you say that one, Catherine?
I think Khyber.
Khyber. That makes more sense. That would not work in Khyber. They're very different. So now I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, because he says, I can't get to Obatium. That's lost.
Yeah. I don't think he's bad. I think he is against the synchronous power that was, you know, oppressing everyone. But I don't know what his end goal is.
Think about Viz's dad having known that.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why he got
killed. Right. Oh, my gosh. So sad.
I was like, wait, this whole time he was trying to keep him from knowing this thing, and instead he is this thing. That's done.
Well, I think it's so interesting because, like, coming back to, like, Ostias and, like, the Anguis, he's only with the Anguis because it's the means to the end for him. And the fact that he was the son of the Princeps makes me think that, like, he was sent to Solovagus and something happened there. And he learned so much. And now he probably is the smartest man in this entire book. He knows the most information. He knows what is happening. And I really want him to come back because he needs to explain himself.
Yeah. Because I just don't know what his end game is. Like, he clearly wants.
What is up with the dog? He like looked it in the eyes and was like, no, you can come.
And then the dog kills everyone.
What's he know about the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the dog is in Lucium because they have all those puppies in Lucium.
And he said it guards the Nexus, which is the island. I don't know. That guy knows a lot. And I want to know more about the dog.
I think the next book, Lucium Viz, is going to get a lot more important only because it's kind of alluded to that they're really following the old ways and the old way of like what the combined worlds used to be and what their power source used to be. The other worlds kind of like evolved from the break, and Lucium very much followed the old ways and the druids follow the old ways. So I'm very, very curious to see how that like evolves and how he, that version of Viz can help the rest of the Vizes figure out how to break up.
Yeah, that's the Viz that was in the dark the longest, which is interesting. Yeah. But also it's the most complex use of will if we were going on that Lucium is the harmonic will, Obedum is the imbued will, and then Rez is like the seated will.
Right.
I don't know if that's a good way to describe it, but they are all different.
They were.
And he sort of figures out how to use a combination of them in all but Lucium.
Right.
Until the very end.
Like you have to take it from a source.
Lucium Viz kept pissing me off though, because he kept just wanting to do nothing. Yes. And I was like, I understand, but also get off your ass. Like, you don't understand.
I'm trying to get kicked out to go back to the farm with my fake family.
Yeah.
He was being willfully ignorant and it was getting a little frustrating.
And him even keeping on complaining about his arm. I was like, babe, like, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a great loss. Like, I would be very upset if I lost my arm. But, like, you're going to tell all these warriors, like, you're just too handicapped to fight when they're also, like, fighting regardless of what they have going on.
I think that one is, like, in Rez without his arm, he still has his story and people know who he are. But there, he's just, like, a random dude with no arm in a warrior society. And I think that's why he is so much, he takes it so differently in that one.
He does. Well, because like you say, in Rez, he has no choice but to get over it because he has to prove himself. He has to keep climbing the political ladder.
Tenicus, he's Domitus.
Yeah.
He has the power behind him to be someone still.
Right. He has to do all these trials to prove that he can still use will effectively. Like, oh my gosh. The women in this book were really the best characters. And
then they killed the best character.
And they killed them. Aqua dying. That is
the next bullet point on the list.
Yes. Killed me. It killed me. The scene of her dying.
Why did you have to squish her head? Why did it have to be that way?
It was so violent.
It was so Game of Thrones.
Yes. And that character, Aqua, has come such a long way with Viz. Like, from book one, her character is like his equal. Yes.
He's the only person who can balance him.
Right. And she always had the right amount of push for him. She wasn't afraid of him. Like, she stood on her own. I loved her so much. And for her to die like that, I was, oh my God.
Before this, Catherine was like, no, she'll come back. And Casey and I were saying, he squished her head. I don't think
that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Crushed her soul.
Yeah. I guess let's get into that because basically the end of the book is in Rez, is Viz resurrecting basically all of the 80,000 dead people in the necropolis that were considered kind of like not spies, but like they had a wealth of information when they died and they were being used to stay in power. But that means his family got resurrected, his mother and his sisters, and then also Calidus, which took me forever to figure out that that was him. That was maybe
behavior, Catherine.
Yeah.
To be fair, I finished this book at midnight.
It was sweet. Eden smiled for the first time.
I know.
But yeah, like Calidus is going to be like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do we think of basically all of our characters being resurrected? Because I know we've had problems in the past with like authors taking cop-outs and resurrecting characters.
Complicated. I kind of got the ick since they already resurrected the dad, but he didn't know where they were, so it made me guess they were stored somewhere too.
Right.
I don't love the idea of he's just being Ka now.
Yeah.
In Rez. Like, they're all ceding to him to make him a princeps.
Right.
And it's kind of icky. He understands there's, like, no other way, but it's icky.
Well, so part of my interpretation with the ending is I think Viz is saying yes for now so that he can wield the power that he needs to hopefully make a different decision. But he's not at the point in that world where he even knows what the choices are. And so I don't think he's totally lost and just going to be the new Ka. I just think there's no time and he's not the new Ka.
It's just he's doing the same thing.
Right.
Using dead people to fuel whatever.
Right. But I'm hoping that he changes and does something different ultimately.
I don't think he's doing it selfishly, which is the only good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It keeps no other option.
Ka was his only option to save humanity, basically, of Rez, because Rez was literally eating itself. Right. And everyone would have died. There would have been no survivors. And Ka has a very self-interest in keeping Will being seated in Rez, so he needs peace. And so he bargained with Ka, who has been trying to kill him this whole time, and said, you need me. You need someone with power. You need someone with influence to convince all of the classes to get together and to seed Will again.
Well, and then Ka's like, actually, no, now I only need you because the other you killed the other me.
Right. Yeah. Like, now Ka's not synchronous. So
now it's actually all up to you to have to bear this decision. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and we hear that they had a conversation that we didn't get to see about the cataclysms. And he was I have a lot to think about. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? So what do you mean?
That's the thing is, in the end, despite thinking the concurrence is Ka, it is not. It is something else.
Yeah.
And it is maybe not a who, but a what.
Yes.
Right.
Are we bringing aliens in, guys?
It sounded like it was this like computer program almost. Like,
oh, well, sort of okay. How, they did kind of explain it. It's all the bodies, yeah, or whatever.
Right. Yes. And that's because, which was interesting because that's sort of how the Egyptian world Obidium is. Like, it was very technological, yeah, okay, and controlled by all these people who were like machines but connected through their minds. And how it's like an unbeatable force, but I think it's still really unclear how that actually acts in the world and how, like, it, like,
who put it in motion to begin with.
Right. And how does it work? Like, do
controls these, it.
Right. Are they controlling people who then try to kill other people? Like, we don't really know.
It was kind of explained like a hive mind, which.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, we still just don't know why or when or how.
Right. How is even created? It's probably going to be like in 2026, AI took over everything and then started fighting back. And then.
Also, well, and it definitely has something to do still with the Aurora Column guy.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
Are they all doing the drop at the column, guys?
Yeah. The drop.
I mean, I've had the thought more than
crossover, one. Crossover episode.
It feels familiar, just barely.
It does. Not too familiar, but it, you know, inspired. But anyway, back to the resurrection thing, because this is actually one of my biggest pet peeves in all media. I hate people being resurrected. It actually bothered me more that the dad was being resurrected. I don't think any of them should have been resurrected.
The dad was resurrected, because how did this Osteus guy just know where this all was?
Right. It's like you're just relying on him organizing everything. I don't think any of them should have been resurrected, but the explanation in the book for why they're there is sufficient enough for me to not hate it.
Like, right, he built like the one world where resurrection, not true resurrection, is allowed.
Yeah. Right. So I will accept it as long as it doesn't get atrocious, because he also built up a lot of lore around the magic system that relied on resurrecting people. And so it's not just them. It's very important to the overall magic system in the book. So fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's still getting side eye.
His dad resurrecting did gave Lucium Viz closure that I think he needed to succeed. So maybe Res Viz will now get that closure. I don't know. Good luck to the Obidum one.
I am sort of happy to see Calidus back, because I know. Yeah, great character.
Complex of a character.
Yeah, and I feel like he's going to make sure Viz does the right thing. Like, I don't know that Viz can be trusted, but Calidus can be trusted.
Yes, Calidus will have.
I was going to be like, time. You dragged my sister into this?
Yeah.
Yes. I think this is one of the only times I can actually appreciate a resurrection, as long as it doesn't stay resurrected. Because I do think that Viz has to make the tough decision to basically end all these people's lives.
That would be the end of the book or whatever.
Yes, end of the series. If they all stay alive, I'll have problems.
Yes, I will throw something.
They squished Iqua, and then like 10 pages later, the dog got stabbed. Granted, instead of Eden, but I was like, don't do this to me. That was cool. The dog's alive, thank God.
I'm insanely attached to the dog.
Yes.
I have some.
Be a loopy.
I don't know why I cry over animals, not people. So I was about to be really mad if right after you ripped my heart out with Iqua, you killed the dog.
I almost threw my Kindle when I saw that the dog was stabbed. Yeah. I was like,
But then the dog was like, fine. So this dog's clearly some crazy magical thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And well, because the dog is using Will somehow. They basically allude to that.
And it communicated with Osteus.
Yes.
Yeah. Somehow.
At one point. He was like, oh yeah, this dog can come now. I was like,
yeah. I was like, is the dog a plant? Like,
and the dog is sentient enough to know that once Viz's identity was revealed to all the Princeps Tertii, he killed them all. I was like,
in a minute. I was like, damn, dog.
Yeah. He got his shit done.
But Osteus didn't want the dog to take the fall, so hit all the bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something there.
Yeah. There's a plot amiss, and not a damn person in the world knows what it is.
Like, we learned some things, and then there's so many more questions.
Here's another question. We haven't even talked about her. Lanistia.
Lanistia?
Oh, my God. Hey, the first book I just called her Lanista, so at least I added another syllable this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is actually one of my gripes with the book, is that Olsizer and, sorry, how is this? Was, don't
Old
laugh.
Key Score?
Old Key Score, whatever, whatever. That's one of those ones where I was like, I can tell I'm just skipping over letters and I don't care. Like, I don't have it within me to pronounce all of them. He's just sort of gone. Like, yeah. He's not really in the book, even in Viz's Rez life. And so I'm sort of like, what's going on with him? Yeah, what's going on with his family? What's going on with Lanistia? What's going on with Viz's mom, who's like actually an Anguis? Like,
the only time Viz had a backbone for real in this book.
Fucking is finally.
When he left Relucia in the Sapper.
Relukia? Yeah.
And Olsizor was like, where's Relucia? And he was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Old Key Score and Relukia?
Mm-mm. I was low-key like, I think that decision might bite him in the ass, yes. But I was also kind of glad that he did it.
I'm glad he did it.
Go back and get her later.
Yeah.
She's not seeding to military, I don't think. I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, she also like fucking deserved it. Like, she was so awful to him.
Yeah. And we figure out her motivation is because she got put in a Sapper at one point, but...
Which made her evil.
Eden, and he's a good person.
Yeah.
Right.
Eden's dad sucks. There's so many characters. We could talk forever and ever and ever.
I know. And so many of them are so interesting. Like,
I do think all Key Score's coming back.
And Indol and all of them. Like,
yeah, but they're some side characters. Yeah.
So many good side characters. Don't especially in the Celtic one.
Supposed to be, Catherine. I can see your face.
What?
I thought you were looking at me because I said Eudiceum, and I'm sure that's wrong.
The Ludicium?
God. Where's the L?
I know. It's an I, but it's an L, apparently.
Yeah.
Well.
But yes, I think All Key Score is going to be coming back more prominently in the third book, because now the reason why they couldn't talk is because he was military and then Viz was governance. Now Viz is taking over military, essentially.
Yeah. In a big
with
way.
Dead people. Oh, so I have a feeling All Key Score is going to have a lot of questions.
I'm not going to talk to him.
Wait. Is Zero one of the dead people?
That's a great question.
Oh yeah.
That thought just came to mind.
We've got some questions for him. You would think that he would be because of he's obviously went through the...
Did his head get cut off? I don't remember. He fell.
I don't remember how he died.
No, so this is part of it. So this is part of the arm thing, is that there was no one waiting on the other side to tell him when to stay and when to go. And that's part of why he died in Rez, is because he moved from the spot too early. And so he was basically like killed by the guardians of the temple.
So in theory, they could have got his body and put it in the necropolis.
Another thing is Lanistia becoming a Yunktai?
Yunktai?
Yunktai, is that why she can't use will right now?
I don't know.
She's in that thing longer than Viz was.
I don't even have like the bandwidth at the end of that book to think about what was going on with her. I was like, well,
I don't think she's a Yunktai.
No, but what's his butt? The guy on the island talks about how she was Meridius. In this column too long.
Yeah.
And Equa pulled out Viz, but no one pulled her out. And that's how she lost her eyes?
Yes.
Yeah.
But now maybe it's coming back to haunt her in other ways.
But that means that she must have been copied, right?
No, because she was in the other side.
The control one.
Yeah.
Okay. Which Claudius or whatever did for...
Yeah.
Apparently, unknowingly, for Marcus, whatever. I don't remember
Marcus,
who it was.
Yeah. Because Marcus was supposed to...
Unknowingly for Viz.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's still very confusing.
I don't think she's Yunktai, but I do think that she has been forever changed by this.
All the Solovegas stuff is still very confusing to me.
Yes. I would just agree with that. Yeah. But I'm really excited for book three, because I feel like Catherine, I think you said this, like, we learned so much. Well,
that's the final
so
question
much.
Until you continue with the series.
Yes, of course. We learned so much in this book. We learned so much to know that we know nothing. Like. Yeah.
Basically, everything we thought we knew is wrong.
Right.
And we have to relearn it.
Who's on the good side?
Trust when they tell us.
Yeah. There's no good and no evil. There's just two sides fighting and we don't know what to do about it.
It's all about power. It's all about ceding your power.
So this is all like a 19-year-old boy.
I know. Yes.
Is this YA?
No, this can't be.
I mean, this book is very violent, so I don't think this one.
The Hunger Games.
But this is complex.
I know.
I would not give this to a teenager at all.
I probably would have read it as a teenager.
I probably would have loved it as a teenager.
But like, y'all were reading above grade level.
It's not dirty, and it's no more violent than a lot of YA that exists right now.
Correct.
True. I'm like, low-key, I feel like it would technically qualify. Though I don't think it is.
The main characters are teens.
Right.
I don't think it qualifies as YA.
I mean, what do you need to qualify as YA?
Under 500 pages. Just,
just a PG adult book. It's probably not PG. It's probably PG-13, but whatever.
New adult.
New adult. There we go.
Which would be our age.
I'm just going to keep calling it science fantasy, which isn't an actual genre out there yet. So
it's accurate, though. That's what we've been reading.
It says it's science fiction and high fantasy. So science fantasy.
Yeah, high fantasy is for real.
High science.
High science.
High science.
We haven't read a high fantasy in a hot minute.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been slow.
In a really long time, actually.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it.
Book recommendations?
Oh, okay. Man. I'm going to recommend my favorite intense, convoluted science fantasy, which is The Fifth Season. You already know. Mm-hmm. It's a very different series from this series, but it has some of the same things, like very intense, very complex world building, lots of morally gray characters. So I think if you like this series, there's a lot that you will like in The Fifth Season.
I am going to recommend Immortal Longings. That's what it's called, right? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one where they body jump?
Yeah. Immortal Longings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt very Kaibar to me. Like, they felt like kind of similar cityscapes, and the jumping body thing is kind of feels very Will-esque. It's also pretty brutal. I don't know. And it's much shorter.
Yeah, I see what you're going for there.
Oh, I had a book recommendation like last night. And I completely forgot it. And it was purely because of like two characters that felt very similar. But I guess I might recommend Dungeon Crawler Carl, honestly. If you want a simplified version.
Like very different simple levels.
It's very different levels. And I think if you like kind of like world building high fantasy, like kind of dystopian high fantasy, you would like that book. And I think if you really need like a palate cleanser of the brain, Dungeon Crawler.
Not high fantasy because it uses the existing world.
But you're correct. It's not high fantasy because it uses the existing world, but it's dystopian and it's very much so fantasy. So
very, very sci-fi, very, yeah.
And I think people need a palate cleanser after this book because Lord Almighty, my brain hurts.
Yes. I have started reading.
Turn back on my book 5 audiobook.
Yeah. I did Heated Rivalry. That was my cleanser.
There you go. My cleanser was Percy Jackson series.
I guess my cleanser will probably be Buckeye.
Oh, that's not a cleanser. Hun.
You're not going to feel cleansed. Yeah.
Don't worry. When I drive, I listen to Dungeon Crawler Carl.
There you go.
All right, cool. Well, these are just our opinions. We hope you like listening to them. If you do, please rate and review our podcast 5 stars. Even if you don't, you can find us at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere and tell us what you think. We love to hear from you guys. We also accept listener book recommendations. So if there's a book you'd like us to review on the podcast, hit us up. And I think that's it. I'm Casey.
I'm Catherine.
And I'm Caitlin. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.